Good morning and welcome to the Marcus Today pre-market podcast. My name is Henry Jennings. It is Monday, the 15th of April, and as usual, with all the information contained in this podcast, it is general advice only, so please do your own research. Contact your own financial advisor regarding any of the thoughts, ideas, or insights in this podcast. And if you're listening to this free podcast and you're not yet a member of the Marcus Today community, we'd love to have you on board. We have offer a fantastic daily newsletter with lots of great money-making ideas. We've also got members' exclusive podcast, a members' exclusive Facebook discussion group, and many other goodies. Model portfolio, strategy, ETFs, macro, small caps, you name it, we have it. So we'd love to have you on board as part of our community. In the meantime, here as always are the scores on the doors from Friday night. All right, well, the Dow Jones closed down a nasty 476 points, 1.24%, 37,983, breaking through that 38,000 level. It had a high of minus 140 and a low of minus 582, so at least it was off its low. The Nasdaq closed down 1.62%, 267 points, 16,175, and the Russell 2000 down 1.9%, the worst of the bunch, down 39 points, 2003. That S&P was in the middle for diddle, down 76 points or 1.46%. The VIX volatility index, as you can imagine, with all this negativity around about, was up 16.1%, 17.31. The ASX SPY futures on Saturday morning was down 49 points, or 0.63%. On Friday, of course, our ASX 200 closed down 26 points for a weekly gain of around 15 points. So it wasn't much of a week, really, but certainly plenty of volatility, and I suspect we're going to get plenty of volatility this week as well. Now, we are seeing Dow futures ticking higher this morning, rebounding on their Sunday night's trading session, up around 88 points. NASDAQ futures also up as well. Gold futures jumped another 0.4% to 2,384. This is on the back of events over the weekend in terms of what's happening with Iran and Israel. So that was very much in focus. The losses on Friday meant the Dow shed 2.4% last week. That was its worst week since March 2023 and its second down week in a row. Are we seeing those cracks? The S&P 500 slid 1.5% for its worst week since October, and the NASDAQ was down for the third negative week in a row as well. So plenty there. We do have Goldman Sachs and M&T Bank results Monday morning, and we do have retail sales in the US Monday as well as a bunch of other numbers. And we also, I think, get Jay Powell talking towards the end of the week as well. Certainly plenty going on with those drone attacks on Israel from Iran over the weekend. So we're expecting commodities to kick a little higher. US stocks, though, Nvidia down 2.7%, AMD down 4.2%, Netflix down 0.9%, Meta, the artist formerly known as Facebook, down 2.2%, Tesla down 2%, Amazonians down 1.5%, Alphabetti Spaghetti down 1%, Apple bucking the trend up 0.9%, Microsoft down at 1.4%, US banks, well, JP Morgan had their numbers out on Friday, somewhat disappointing, and they got slammed, down 6.5%, Bank of America down 1.5%, Wells Fargo down 0.2%, Morgan Stanley are down 0.7%, but Goldman's losing 2%, Combank overseas was down 2%, we also had SQM down 3.8%, together with ResMed down 1.9%. Not much happening in European banks there. We've also got a little bit of Fed speak to start the week. Federal Reserve Bank of San Francisco President Mary Daly says there is no urgency to adjust interest rates given a strong labor market, robust consumer spending, and a slower pace of moderation in the inflation rate in recent months. The central bank, she said, still has a lot of work to do before it can be confident that its inflation is on the right track. So higher for longer. All right, looking across to commodities on the weekend, we had Brent crude pretty much unchanged, $90.2 US a barrel. WTI up on the back of those strikes on Israel, up 67 cents to 86.50, 0.8% higher. Gold came off, though. That was on the back of the US dollar index firming. That was up 0.68% to 106. The gold price slipping $29.40 or 1.24%. Platinum down 0.5. Silver down 1.8. We did see those US yields 10 years back down to 4.52. A little bit of flight to quality there, I suspect. US 2 years at 4.897 and the Aussie 10-year 4.2%. European markets not doing a lot. FTSE was up 0.9. Looking at metal prices, and this is going to be an interesting week for metal prices because the LME has prohibited the emphasis on new aluminium, copper and nickel produced by Russia being delivered into the LME and has barred the import of metals to the US and UK. This is aimed at disrupting Russian export revenue from the metals, and it comes as Washington continues to try and punish the Ukraine as well as the UK. So it's going to be interesting to see what effect this has. You can still deliver old Russian metal, that is metal that has been produced before April the 13th, but after that, anything produced cannot be delivered to the LME. Some are suggesting that could push a spike in commodity prices. Others are suggesting it could cause the Russians to dump old metal on the exchange and force a contango situation. That is, when spot prices are considerably lower than forward prices, something that's already in train, but certainly something that we need to be wary of as we come into the week. So that's going to be interesting. Russia is quite a big part of the metals complex, so that is very good. The share of Russian origin copper stocks rose to 62% in March from 52%. The share of Russian nickel rose to 36% from 35%, the LME said. So the available aluminium stocks as well registered in warehouses from Russian origin, 91%. Now you can see this could have quite a significant implication. All right, looking at LME prices on Friday, though, we had copper up 1.1%, nickel up 0.4%, we had aluminium up 1.3%, zinc up 2%, lead up 1.3%, ton up 0.6%, iron ore better as well, coal unchanged, uranium up a smidge, lithium down a smidge. Mining stocks overseas, we have BHP down 1.6% in ADRs. That's Depository Receipts. Rio down 0.4%. Glencore up 5%. Freeport down 2.2%. Vale down 0.4%. Arcadium down 6.4%. Albemarle down 5.9%. SQM down 6.3%. Sigma down 6.1%. So it looks like lithium's going to get walloped today, to say the least. And we did see Shell up 2.8%, but Chevron and Mobil not doing so well. Chevron down 1.2% and Mobil down 1.2%, Chevron down 1.8%. In news out this morning, Macquarie is shortlisted apparently in a $772 million Indian road auction amongst the shortlisted bidders to buy road assets from India's quasi-sovereign infrastructure fund. The deal could be worth $300 to $500 million. The assets are with an enterprise value of $1 billion, a part of the National Investment and Infrastructure Fund's road platform. So some numbers there. Good to see Jamie Dimon out and about again. Warning of unsettling global landscape, highlighting a cascade of pressures, including war, rising geopolitical tensions and inflation that threaten the world's economy and could weigh on the performance of JP Morgan. Larry Fink, the BlackRock chief executive, said he expects the US Federal Reserve to cut rates at most, twice this year. It'll be difficult for the central bank to curb inflation. Fink would call it a day and a win if inflation rate gets to between 2.8 and 3%, which is above the Fed's target. Right, another news out this morning. Zhaojin Capital has increased its offer price for Tito Minerals to 68 cents from 58 cents. Declares the offer best and final. News out from Drone Shield, which I'm sure will be one of the beneficiaries of what's happening with Iran and Israel. As reported, net cash from operating activities, a loss of 10.7 million. Revenue, 16.4. Current manufacturing capacity is 400 million per annum. It has cash and cash equivalents, 56.4. We've also got Talga out this morning. Completes front-end engineering and design for its Vitangi anode project. Capital cost now estimated 560 million euros. Imugene has reported bile tract cancer expansion study opens following clearance of MAST, M-A-S-T, trial high-dosed cohort. So some good news there for Imugene. Today also we have IMDEX out, issues update on patent infringement dispute, Global Tech placed into voluntary administration. Endeavor Group has been upgraded to overweight from equal weight at Morgan Stanley. Target price increased there to $6.40. News Corp working on cost cuts and restructure following changes to contracts around the news media bargaining code. This has all got to do with Google and Facebook. Ampol may be interested in EG's group's Australian service stations. So that is of interest there. IPL. There's a senator calls for a public examination of any Incitec Pivot fertiliser business sale. Senator Susan McDonald, who is the opposition resources spokesman, has told the AFR she will call for a public examination of the sale process and ask about requirements attached to any sale to meet domestic needs. If ever there was an FIRB waiting to happen there in terms of blockage, that certainly is one of those. Star Entertainment Group downgraded to neutral from overweight at JP Morgan. Target price cut there to 50 cents from 65 cents. And that, as they say, is probably about it for this morning. There has been some news out as well for all those looking to be super traders. Superhero opens a new front in the broker fee war. It is now said that if you can slash brokerage fees on Australian share trading to just $2 a trade. $2 a trade. Flat brokerage for ASX trades up to 20,000, and 0.01% fee will be levied for trades above 20,000. Superhero will increase US share trading to $2 per trade for trades up to 20,000 for US shares as well. Well, that is about it today. As I said, thanks very much for listening. Have a great day. May the trading gods be with you. I'll be back again at lunchtime with the members' exclusive podcast and, of course, this afternoon with the end of day report. Have a great day.